Chairs No Waiting, episode number 616, The E-Bullet, January 2021. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the folks over at weaversdepartmentstore.com. Drop by over at Weavers. Wow, we got some brand new shirts in, celebrating the 60th anniversary of the Andy Griffith Show. There's three different shirts. Two of them come in sweatshirts. So head over and check those out. And while you're there, you might want to check out Randy Turner, his book, Mayberry First. You'll love it. It's a compendium of historical essays on the classic series of the Andy Griffith Show. Head over to weaversdepartmentstore.com and check it out. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners like you. And I want to thank this week's executive producer, Dixie Griffith, Andy's daughter. Thank you so much for helping support the podcast. Wow, what an honor that is to me. Hello, everybody. I'm Alan Newsom, your host for Two Chairs No Waiting. And it is a great time to be a Mayberry fan. There's all kinds of stuff going on in the coming year here in 2021. We're excited about it. And not only that, the E-Bullet just came out. That's right. So we'll be talking about the E-Bullet in just a few minutes. We'll be talking about that and going through some of the stuff. And I just got to tell you, if you're not a subscriber to the E-Bullet, you're just missing out. You're missing out. And I will give you some of the highlights tonight, but it's not everything that's in the E-Bullet. So definitely go and subscribe and make sure it shows up in your email inbox. So you'll know when new editions of the E-Bullet come out. So the E-Bullet is the official newsletter of the Andy Griffith Show Rerun Watchers Club. And after we go through that, we'll hear from Randy Turner with This Week in Mayberry History. So let's go ahead and head over to the E-Bullet. I know you guys are going to enjoy this because Jim Clark, the presiding goober of the Andy Griffith Show, he always does a great job putting these things out. And I definitely want to encourage you, you can go into the website and find it. If you go to imayberry.com and click on the link that says E-Bullet, it's big and right at the top of the page, it'll take you directly to the actual E-Bullet website. And you'll be able to read the entire thing. Of course, as I said, I definitely recommend that you get it delivered directly to you so that you can just enjoy yourself with it and not have to wait on me or somebody to remind you. So let's get a little background music from the VW boys. And here we go for the E-Bullet, January 2021. So, all right. Welcome to the January E-Bullet, the first issue of 2021. Watching the Andy Griffith Show proved to be especially comforting escape from the stress of 2020. And after the way 2021 has started, Mayberry may be even more vital source of healing and diversion for fans this year. With a little discipline, faith in science, and good old-fashioned common sense, maybe we'll fairly soon be able to gather in person more like we did before the pandemic, maybe at least by Mayberry Days in September, if not before. In the meantime, please continue to stay safe and keep on watching the Andy Griffith Show and enjoying Mayberry, whether through social media or wearing a favorite Mayberry sweatshirt while eating Mayberry's finest pickles and perhaps reading the new Mayberry-related book. So the Barbershop Bulletin Board, Floyd's Barbershop Bulletin Board and Event Calendar, is a portion of the E-Bullet that is there every issue. And it reminds us that the Andy Griffith Museum, featuring Andy Griffith's great friend Emmett Forrest and his amazing collection of Andy Griffith artifacts, is open. Please note that the museum is more than just Barney's. They have more than just Barney's two rules at the Rock, because there's a lot of rules. There's rules about with North Carolina. They're pausing in the phase three of the pandemic protocols. There's only 25 visitors at a time allowed in. But, hey, we can work with that. So head over to Mount Airy, North Carolina, and go to the museum if you're there. You can check everything out and get all the guidelines that you need, or you can contact them by heading to andygriffithmuseum.org. If you'd like that information, it's in the E-Bullet. You can just click the link there and see it. There's also a phone number for the museum that you can check out. Now, in 2021, the things we know about so far that are currently planned, fingers crossed that they can pull them off, is April 10th. Rodney and Beverly Dillard are going to be the special guest performers at Mayberry and I Love Lucy Day in Granville, Tennessee. The festivities will begin at 9 a.m. And it says additional guests and performers and other details are TBA. Well, I can tell you one, Floyd the Barber is supposed to be there. So Floyd and Barney, Rick Roberts from the Mayberry Men movie, Barney, he's supposed to be there too. So fingers crossed we can all make it to that and everything's safe and we can go. So there's April 10th. That could be one of the very first things. Now, the next thing on the calendar is September 20 through 26th is the 32nd annual Mayberry Days. So there's nothing scheduled currently in 2021 except April and then September. You know, so right now it's nothing else on there. That doesn't mean there's not going to be more. It's early. It's early. So hopefully there's still going to be stuff in May and June and July. There's going to be other things that we can go see, but these are the things we know about currently. So the 32nd annual Mayberry Days in Mount Airy, a special guest that they've already confirmed are Betty Lynn, Thelma Lou, of course, and Rodney Dillard, the guitar player and Darling Boy. And there's tickets on sale for a bunch of concerts and stuff they're going to have by T. Graham Brown, the Doug Dillard tribute show by the Dillards, that'd be Rodney, of course, Professor Brower's class, they're still planning to do that, Tim White and Troublesome Hollow, Tim White, who you're hearing here in the background with the VW Boys, his group now is called Troublesome Hollow, definitely something you want to check out if you're able to. Then there's other things going on, including Colonel Tim's Talent Time. Go to the e-bullet and check out these things so that you know what's happening the weekend of Mayberry Days. There'll be much more announced, and just keep watching the calendar to get more information. On October the 31st through November the 6th, this one, hopefully, Lord willing, will occur this year. We're going to have Clint Howard as a special guest for the Mayberry Cruise 15, the 15th Mayberry Cruise. Of course, it was postponed last year with some little bit of tweaks from the dates. So October 31st to November the 6th. It's really close to the same time it was supposed to be in 2020. This cruise is going to be aboard Carnival's Freedom. And it's going to go out of Fort Lauderdale and travel in the Eastern Caribbean. Definitely worth going. I hope you can go. I'll be at that as well. It'll be a whole bunch of the tribute artists will be able to go to this one. And we're really looking forward to it, being just getting back together and seeing the Mayberry family. All these events that we've just talked about, gosh, I just hope they all can pull off. And, of course, we'll try to have the Mayberry meetup that the podcast actually is involved in as well. So let's hear a bit about the news of cast and crew. Now, this is all in the e-bullet, guys. So make sure you're subscribing to the e-bullet. If you need to know how, go to the e-bullet. There's a giant button, giant thing there on the side that says subscribe. So you can subscribe to it. It's in the menu as well if you're on your phone. All right, so news of cast and crew. Another section that's always in the e-bullet. On the heels of November's release of both Building Paradise, a documentary for National Geographic, and Hillbilly Elegy for Netflix, Ron Howard is now busy directing a documentary, again for National Geographic, about, boy, I can't say this, Chief Jose Andres and his World Central Kitchen charity. Somehow that was hard for me to say. Ron is also in pre-production on his next directing project, 13 Lives, a film based on the cave rescue of the boys' soccer team in Thailand. You remember that? It captivated the world back in 2018. The film is set to begin shooting in Australia in March. Boy, that's rough, isn't it? He has to travel to Australia and just, God, it's a rough life for Mr. Howard. It's rough. The Willow TV series for Disney Plus, one of the many projects for which Ron is serving as executive producer, is also in pre-production. Ron is expected to direct at least one early episode before turning his attention to directing one of several more movies in the queue at Imagine Entertainment. Ron is scheduled to be inducted into the Duncan Area Hall of Fame, his hometown of Duncan, Oklahoma, this month, but the gala ceremony has been postponed until next January because of the pandemic. Oh, man, that's too bad. Betty Lynn, Thelma Lou, she's still hunkering down in Mount Airy, and she reports that she's doing well and has had a nice holiday season. She's eager to resume her meet and greets with fans at the Andy Griffith Museum, but that likely won't happen until summertime at the earliest. So fingers crossed if that's all going well. Maggie Peterson, Charlene Darling, the husband and husband Gus have moved into an assisted living facility, which will hopefully allow her to have even steadier progress in recovery from recent surgeries. Even so, she was wistful about leaving home, and she has lived in since shortly after her time on the Andy Griffith Show. Yeah. So there's a GoFundMe campaign that's going on. It was set up by Maggie's family to help with some of her significant and ongoing uncovered medical expenses. It's still active, and it's reached about 60% of its goal, and Maggie is extremely grateful for all the donations. So there's a little note here, a news flash that was just before they were getting ready to publish the e-bullet. We got word that from Maggie's nephew, Ben, that both Maggie and Gus have tested positive for COVID. Now, that was what the report was at the time. So now that we're a little later, I can give you this report that came out just on the 16th of January. So we wanted to update you about Maggie's condition. The good news is that she was discharged from the hospital on Thursday evening. So it was just this past Thursday, and is home. She is doing better, but is very weak and will require some rehab to help her get back to normal. We are relieved that she is out of the hospital and recovering. Thank you for your generous support and prayers for Maggie. We share your lovely comments with her, and she appreciates them very much. So that's an update that's not in the actual e-bullet, but it is just came out because she was hospitalized back on the 17th, and she got out just this past Thursday from COVID. So thank goodness that she was able to respond well to the treatment. So Maggie, you're in our prayers. Everybody, please continue to pray for Maggie and Gus. They just get their strength back and can get back on the road with us in our Mayberry fan, events. She loves meeting the fans. So, man, we miss her. Tied Up in Knots, the memoirs of Karen Knots, the daughter of Don Knots, has been officially announced by her publisher. The plan is for it to be available in time for Mayberry Days in September. So, all right, another book we get to listen or read. I listen to books. I'm an audible person. Let's go on here. George Lindsay Jr., of course, you might know from the name George Lindsay Jr., that he's the son of George Lindsay. He has released a new CD with three songs on it. I don't think I have one sitting here. I'd show it to you if you're on the video. It's not available at Weaver's, but autographed copies of the previous one, the Goober Son Sings CD of silly songs that are, it is definitely available at Weaver's, and they're signed and autographed by George. So definitely go and check those out at Weaver's. You can get an autographed copy of a CD from George Lindsay Jr. And it's got funny music and songs and some stories. He tells some of the jokes that it were from his dad. I'm pretty sure that's where they came from. It's pretty awesome. George also shared sad news of the passing of his and his sister Camden's mom, George Lindsay's ex-wife. She passed away from complications of Alzheimer's back in August, and she was 84 years old. So our sympathies go out to George and Camden, and our prayers with you guys too, as you deal with the loss. We really appreciate you guys. All right, it's about to get real. Jim Clark is awesome. It says it's about to get real. It's R-E-E-L because he's talking about a movie. He said it comes on reels. It's good. Yeah. So the Mayberry Man movie, written and directed by Stark Howell and produced by his brother Court Howell, both sons of Hoke Howell, a.k.a. Dud Wash, and co-produced by Greg Shell, the son of Ronnie Shell, is now in the final stages of editing and other post-production work. And Stark and his team were pleased on how all the pieces have come together. Oh, I'm so excited to see this thing. Depending on the status of the pandemic and other considerations, initial screenings are planned for the spring. Now, those screenings, to clarify, will be for people who donated toward the movie. So there'll be private screenings. So hopefully you are a supporter of the Mayberry Men movie and you'll be able to get into the screenings, or perhaps if you donate at that level, or you'll receive at some point near that time frame of May, somewhere in that time frame, hopefully, either a digital download where you'll be able to watch it, or, you know, there's several different categories that you could have supported the podcast, not the podcast, the Mayberry Man movie. If you did, you'll be able to see it. They're still working to get a distributor, and that hasn't happened yet. That'll happen once they kind of finish with all the editing and get everything ready. The premiere is tentatively slated for Danville's Mayberry in the Midwest Festival, which is expected but not yet official for May. Further avenues of distribution are still being pursued. So we'll let you know more as soon as that comes up. I have to help Jim here. That's a wrap for news and cast and crew for this year. But stay tuned for lots more in 2021. So there's more information in there. There's some passings of Mac Fenton, some information about him. We're sad to report the passing of Mike Fenton. He was the casting director for the Andy Griffith Show and Gomer Pyle. He passed away from natural causes at his home in Los Angeles on December the 30th. He was 85 years old. There's a complete biography, a very nice write-up. I definitely encourage you to go and read about him in the e-bullet. It's very good. So definitely go and check that out. So a chapter update. There's chapter updates in the e-bullet where we tell you about new chapters that are founded, but there hadn't been any since November. So we're still stuck at 1,468 chapters of the Andy Griffith Show Rerun Watchers Club since it began in 1979. There's information in the e-bullet about how to start a chapter if you'd like to start one. So definitely do that. And if you can't get into a local chapter, there's always the online chapters at Who's Been Messing Up the Bulletin Board and places such as that. There's information in the e-bullet every other month about stuff going on Weavers. And you folks that are here on the podcast already hear about all this stuff, the pickles and the coffee and the jelly and the jams and all that kind of stuff. We got the 60 Years of Mayberry, a celebration of the Andy Griffith Show book. You definitely want to check that out. That's a great, great book. You know, I say it's great because, you know, one of the chapters was, you know, well, one of the stories in there is written by Dixie Griffith, who's sponsoring the podcast tonight, who's helping promote it. And there's George Lindsay Jr. Oh, my gosh. Bruce Billison. He did one, too. Leroy Mack. Sean Dietrich. Sean of the South. I don't know if you ever heard of him. Great guy. Great guy. Huge Andy Griffith fan. And then some guy, Alan Newsom, Floyd the Barber tribute artist and host of Two Chairs, No Waiting Podcast. What do you know? And so if you order that book through Weavers, I'm available to sign it. Just let me know. I mentioned Mayberry first at the top of the podcast. There's a Gomer Says Hey book you'd enjoy. And we still got some of these, guys. We got some lithographs they're prints, you know, lithographs that are autographed by George Lindsay. There's a few of those. Go and check those out because those are hard to come by. And just go check out all the other cool stuff they got there. Loaded goat t-shirts, a bunch of sweatshirts, all kinds of stuff. All right, so some chapter news. We got chapters of the Andy Griffith Show Rio and Watchers Club. The headquarters, Andy chapter in Nashville, enjoyed hearing from many chapters from all over the country during the holidays. Most chapters have been pretty quiet so far this winter, as they were for most of 2020. as most have been following the local safety protocols during the pandemic. We've got just a couple of photos from chapters. They'll be followed by tributes to two steadfast Rio and Watchers Club members who unfortunately passed away. So I'll mention their names and definitely encourage you to go and check it out. You've got the members of the Mayberry chapter from Knoxville. They got together for their Christmas party, their annual Christmas party, and had a great time. There's a great picture of them. They're planning to get together back in early January to celebrate Elizabeth McCrae's birthday as well. So definitely check them out. We heard from the from the Mayberry Preservation Society there in Mount Airy, North Carolina. Heard from them, as well as Just a Fat Woman with Orange Hair chapter from Fayette, North Carolina. Fayetteville. Heard from them as well. So I want to remember two wonderful friends. With nearly 1,500 Andy Griffith Show, Rio and Watchers Club chapters and tens of thousands of members, the Bullet, unfortunately, is not able, or it's not even an adequate forum for reporting each member that we've lost over the years, much less for giving them a proper tribute. It's not uncommon that we simply don't learn of the news of someone passing until much later, if at all. But there are times when we quickly receive said word about widely known, you know, folks that have passed. And in this case, I just want to mention this one especially, Jack Fellinger. The Rio and Watchers Club and others far and wide sadly lost a longtime great friend when Jack Fellinger, the co-founder with his wife Sue of the Mrs. Mendelbright's Bulb Snatchers in Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Belk Vista, Arkansas, passed away from complications of COVID on Christmas Eve this past year. There's a wonderful write-up in there. I mentioned him, I think, last week, because Jack and Kevin Johnson, Jack Fellinger and Kevin Johnson, were the ones that kind of got me back in after I'd been out for about 4 months to the Who's Been Messing Up the Bulletin Board chapter back in the very early 90s. And he has been one of these people that I have corresponded with for 20 some odd years. And wow, he has missed. He's also was a trained noticer. And there's a wonderful little note in here that he was the first person to spot the 1957 North Carolina JL327 license plate, by far the most common Mayberry license plate number on the Andy Griffith Show. It was in an Atlas Tires ad in a magazine showing all 50 state license plates back in February of 1959. It was the issue of the Saturday Evening Post. Jack deduced that the ad, or one of very similar Atlas ads with license plates that ran from the 50s to the 60s, was the source material used by the tag's prop department to create the Mayberry squad car license plate. That's just one of the things. I need you to go and just read this about Jack. He was a wonderful guy. Great stuff he has in here. But he was definitely one that noticed the license plate in the magazine, and it was JL327. And so that's likely where it came from. Jack was a great friend. He is someone who is definitely going to be missed. Also, Joe Anthony. We were saddened to learn that Joe Anthony, one of the earliest members of the Rio and Watchers Club, and one of the most dedicated as well, and founder of the No Thank You, Leon chapter, he passed away unexpectedly on January the 2nd, and he is missed as well. Wow. Folks, just keep in prayer and stay safe with one another. There's wonderful pictures of Joe at Mayberry Days where he gathered with the folks back in 18. There's a great picture there. Just everybody outside Foley's Market there over at Wally Service Station. Definitely sad to hear these things. So that's just too bad. So they are missed. All right. So I want you to stay in touch with one another. On the web, there is the iMayberry community. And so the iMayberry community is overseen by me, Alan Newsom, and Keith Brown, who does Colonel Harvey, the tribute artist. Keith does most of the work now, and I just kind of do the background stuff as far as keeping the site operational and moving around. Keith does a lot of the work, so I really appreciate him. You can sign up and become a member over at the iMayberry community by going to imayberrycommunity.com. And you can sign up over there. We got about 250 people that are just visiting with one another. Everybody's a Mayberry fan, and we're doing our very best to moderate the site so that we don't have any interlopers coming through there. We'll give them the big freeze if they do. but we're trying our best to make sure it's all Mayberry folks. So head over and check that out while you're running around. There's a lot of information in there as well. I want to encourage you to check out Kevin Burke's Burke on Mayberry podcast. You can find, if you go to twochairsnowaiting.com, look at the menu bar. You'll see links to Burke on Mayberry as well as Mayberry Bible Study podcast. Now, that podcast is not having new episodes in a few years, but the episodes that are there, there's probably 12 to 15, I can't remember, are evergreen. So you can listen to them at any point. So definitely go and check those out, the Mayberry Bible Study podcast. Then there's other things online, not the Gomer and Goober Pyle Comic Book Literary Guild, which you're going to hear from in just a few minutes here, just a few seconds, as well as many other things. There's even folks starting up groups over on MeWe.com. MeWe.com. You can check out the Two Chairs No Waiting site there, and there's also Sitting on a Velvet Pillow and several others. Check out the e-bullet for information about that. Friends, there is more information than I have provided to you in the e-bullet. I want to thank Jim Clark completely for his years of dedication to doing the e-bullet and getting it out. And the before that, the pocket, and before that, the bullet. I mean, it's just been in the button. There's all those things that Jim's been doing over the years just to keep us all informed and connected. And I just want to thank him for that and encourage you to connect up with fans by going to, I don't know, iMayberry Community or wherever you'd like to go. If you go to iMayberry.com, you can pretty much get to any of these websites that'll help you stay connected with fans of the Andy Griffith Show. So iMayberry.com, check that out. All right, folks, it is time for us to hear from the roving reporter for here at Two Chairs No Waiting, Randy Turner, with This Week in Mayberry History.
Welcome to This Week in Mayberry History, a report by special correspondent Randy Turner of the Gomer and Cooper Pyle Comic Book Literary Guild of the Mayberry Historical Society.
Back when I started doing reports for the podcast, they were very short pieces about multiple subjects. This week, let's revisit a topic I covered in only my second This Week in Mayberry History report, especially since that report was only 11 sentences long. It concerned Ron Howard's second popular series, Happy Days. While Ronnie Howard, as he was known then, had appeared on television before, it was the Andy Griffith Show that made him a child star. The acting ability of Howard from such a young age was incredible, as was his range. He could play equally well humorous scenes, such as being confused as he thought peekaboo was a game you played with a baby, to dramatic scenes, such as questioning whether his pa believed him about Mr. McBeevy. Even during his time in Mayberry, Howard made other acting appearances. He filmed The Music Man and The Courtship of Eddie's Father while on hiatus, and appeared in other series such as The Fugitive, The Big Valley, and I Spy. After The Andy Griffith Show ended, Opie did appear in Mayberry one last time when he attended Andy and Helen's wedding in Mayberry RFD. Howard then appeared in various other shows during his teen years, such as in an episode of his brother Clint's series, Gentle Ben, in the series Daniel Boone, Lassie, and in an episode of Andy Griffith's short-lived series Headmaster. He appeared as the lead in a two-part TV film, Smoke, originally aired as part of The Wonderful World of Disney, and later released theatrically in the United Kingdom. And he notably co-starred in the TV series headed by Henry Fonda, The Smith Family, which started as a mid-season replacement and ran another full season, ending just before Howard entered his 20s. While Howard continued to appear in other series, such as a 1973 guest shot on MASH, it was another mid-season replacement series that brought him to a second dose of great success. And that hit series was, of course, Happy Days, which premiered on January the 15th, 1974, with Ron playing the lead, Richie Cunningham. What many do not realize is that Happy Days had an unusual path to success. The 1971 pilot for the show was called New Family in Town, with different actors playing Father Howard and siblings Joni and Chuck. The pilot was not picked up, and rather than trash it, the show's creator and director Gary Marshall retitled it Love and the Television Set, and it was used as a segment on the anthology show Love American Style in 1972. That would have been the end of it. But a young George Lucas was preparing to make a movie he was calling American Graffiti, and he asked to see the failed pilot to evaluate Ron Howard's performance. Howard was cast as one of the leads, and Graffiti was a huge success in 1973, helping fuel a nostalgia craze in the United States for the 1950s. This prompted ABC to seek shows to capitalize on the nostalgia wave, and Gary Marshall was one of the people they approached. He reminded them of the failed pilot, but this time they were interested. He recast many of the original actors, though Ron Howard stayed in place, especially after his star turn in American Graffiti. The first two seasons were, to me at least, a higher quality enterprise than the show eventually evolved into, but like many things of high quality, it was not exceedingly popular. The first two seasons opened with Rock Around the Clock by Bill Haley and the Comets as the theme song, and were shot with a single-camera technique, just like the Andy Griffith Show had been. The series focused on Richie's innocence, while trying to find his way through high school, and the Fonz was a recurring character. As the ratings declined, Gary Marshall retooled the show to make the comedy much broader. He switched to a three-camera approach filmed before an audience. Bill Haley and the Comets were jettisoned, and the theme song based on the series title that was originally used only during the closing credits was now used with new lyrics as the opening theme. Fonzie was played up to the point that he had nearly magical abilities in summoning women and making uncooperative jukeboxes and pop machines work with just a slap or a kick. But this was something that clearly appealed to a wider audience, and the show became a huge hit. By the second year of this new approach, it was the number one show in the country, thereby giving Ron Howard his second number one show, a feat that is far from common. By the way, with the success of Happy Days, the original failed pilot shown in syndication in Love American Style was retitled Love and the Happy Days. So it was Love American Style that gave us Happy Days, which in turn gave us seven more series of spinoffs, not the record, but an incredible number. And the show would never have been the success it was if not for the performance and likability of our Mayberry alumnus, Ron Howard. Well, that's it for this week. As always, thanks for listening, and remember to take care of yourself, watch out for one another, and take Andy's advice, and go out there and act like somebody.
Wow, thank you, Randy, for that wonderful report. If you want to make sure you don't miss out on any of the wonderful things that Randy finds and comes up with related to Mayberry, send him an email at turnersgrade@gmail.com, turnersgrade@gmail.com, and he'll make sure you don't miss out. You don't want to. Thanks again, Randy. Yeah, that was great. I loved Happy Days. I grew up watching Happy Days. I've always wondered what happened to Chuck, his older brother, but he disappeared. I don't know what happened to Chuck. Never. It's a mystery. Oh, man. Ron Howard has, poor guy, has barely had any success. You know, I'm glad he was able to have the two number one shows and stuff. But, you know, after that, I barely know what he's done since then. It's just, what a great guy. So I'm so happy for him. He is a good guy. So I'm happy that he has done so well. And wow, a Mayberry guy that made it so big. Like George always said, if I'd have known Opie was going to be Ron Howard, I'd have been nicer to that little redheaded boy. That's what George Lindsay always said. Folks, if you're still sticking around, then you're a big Mayberry fan because we're 40 or 30 something minutes into this. So I want to just mention that Mayberry Man, if you go and check out their website right now, if you listen to this anytime fairly soon, they have updated it recently. It actually has a picture of a scene that was done outside of Floyd's barbershop right there at the header. of the page. And some reason I really like that one, probably because I'm right there in it. So we have Brett Varville as Chris Stone. We got Alan Newsome, me, as Floyd the Barber, and Rick Roberts as the deputy, Barney Fife, right there in front of Floyd's barbershop, having a little conversation that occurs during the movie. I am just so looking forward to seeing this, because just look at that. I mean, I realize I am the Floyd in there, but when I look at it, I'm seeing Floyd and Barney and the guy talking to him. And it's just like, oh my gosh, they're standing in front of Floyd's barbershop. I mean, I realized I was there. Luckily, I'm getting older, and so I can forget things. And so I don't remember. No, I do. I kind of remember this. But wow, what a great experience that was, getting to stand in front of Floyd's barbershop and do a scene like we were really in Mayberry. Oh my goodness. I think I'm going to take that shot and make it black and white. So if you head over to mayberryman.com, you can go and see that. Hopefully, if you're hearing it anytime fairly recent to this date, which is the 19th of January of 2021, by the time everybody's getting this. So it should still be there. And I'll tell you a little story. I was on the site on Saturday. I believe it was. I was on the site looking for something, because I was really looking up mayberryman.com to make sure I was getting the URL correct, you know, the link to the website correct. And while I was there, the site is actually changing. And so if you go there, you can also watch the trailer. They have it's not the finished trailer, but it's almost finished. They're getting close, and they went ahead and they have it out there for us to be able to watch. So there's going to be, if you enjoy this trailer, the finished trailer, I can't imagine how good it's going to be. So, because this one, people have watched and are just looking forward to being able to see this movie when it's able to come out. So I am so excited about it. So go and check that out. And that's all I've got for you this week, guys. I want to thank you for being here with me. It is always fun to spend some time with you here in Mayberry. And man, this is it's just an exciting time. We got the Mayberry Effect, the documentary that should be coming out this year, where we'll be able to actually see it. Chris Hudson, the creator, the documentary, keeps winning awards at film festivals for his directing, for different portions of the film, of the Mayberry Man, or not Mayberry Man, the Mayberry Effect documentary. That's going to be a big deal. And we've also got Mayberry Man coming out. We've just got so many things, and hopefully we're going to be able to start getting back together as Mayberry community as well in person. So man, this could be an amazing year. So, just keep our fingers crossed and keep hoping. We got some fun stuff to look forward to in the coming months. And until then, I'd love to hear from you. Let me hear what you think. Did you hear anything in the e-bullet that really got you going? Or are you excited about the possibility of these different Mayberry things happening throughout the year? I'd love to hear from you. You can give me a call at 888-684-8415. Or you can email me at floyd@imayberry.com. Either one of those ways would be great. If you can't remember, head over to twochairsnowaiting.com and you can find that information there so that you can get with me. I would love to hear from you. All right, folks, until next time, have a great Mayberry week, and we'll see you here on Two Chairs. Good night, everybody.